CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Paco Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And you are listening to us do a new format.
We are doing a mini episode just to kind of catch you up on everything that's coming up. And we're joined by our producer, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
Will on the mic.
Hey, what? I'm back.
Yeah, awesome.
So the idea is we want to, you know, run over a couple of general things that are happening for the show and in documentaries in general, like the Oscars and things like that. But we didn't do the Oscars this time.
So we kind of figured that a lot of stuff happens between weeks. Sometimes we record these episodes, you know, sometimes a couple months out, and they sit in the can for a couple months. And then we've been putting out the next week promos, but they haven't been really giving you a whole lot of info about stuff that's going on in the world. So we're just kind of bringing you some more direct stuff that's going on, because some cool stuff happened this week that we're going to get to very shortly.
But first, we should talk about what is on next week's agenda, which is Ryan Singer, comedian Ryan Singer, and he wanted to talk about Sirius, which is... gosh, a crazy movie, right? You can all agree this was nuts.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very long. It's a YouTube documentary that fits perfectly into the canon of YouTube documentaries.
But it's on Netflix or whatever. It's the story of Dr. Stephen Greer. We still don't know what kind of Dr. Stephen Greer is, but he is this goes all over the place. It's an all over the place documentary about aliens. Pyramids, alien autopsy,
government conspiracies.
Yeah, all of it. Yes. And Ryan is a good comedian. Jesus Christ, why did I say that? Ryan is a
great comedian. Hilarious.
Ryan's a great Ryan Singer, great comedian. Yes. We're excited to have him on the show. Here is a clip of Ryan that gives you an idea about what you're going to get into next week.
I love thinking about space, dude. You don't have to convince me that aliens built the pyramids. I got Netflix. That means I already believe that. If you also have Netflix, chances are you've probably seen one of the 6,000 documentaries streaming about how the pyramids were built, and you too likely have been convinced that at the very least, we had a little bit of help building those superstructures thousands of years ago, the way the light shafts line up to the constellations. The geographical location of the pyramids on the globe, the way they line up perfectly geometrically with one another. Oh, we can fit 35 Empire State Buildings inside of the largest pyramid. Think about how enormous that is. And you think we built those by ourselves? It's taken over 10 years to repave 2 miles of freeway in my neighborhood. And you think we built the pyramids? You're the crazy one, not me. I'm rubber, you're glue. Bounces off me, you cuckoo. I'll go even further than that. You could convince me with quite ease, frankly, that aliens helped us build any superstructure I've ever seen in my entire life. I'll be driving down the freeway sometimes, and two other huge freeways will cross over atop of me in a giant X formation. Good thing my 99 Camry doesn't have a moonroof. I'd wreck my car every goddamn time. Like, holy fuck! Whenever I'm walking down the street and I see a building that's taller than 10 stories tall, my brain melts out my ear hole. I'll just sit there and be like, oh my God, how does it not fall down? It's so windy up there. It's so windy up there, dude. Like, how does any dude over 6'7" walk around all day? You top-heavy mother trucker, how the fuck you walking? Or any bridge over a large body of water. Oh, that baffles the hell out of me. Like the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, I'll just stare at it for hours. Like, or in the American Southland, they have bridges that go through 30, 40 miles straight. Nothing but swampland. No solid land in between to help keep the bridge sturdy. Like, how do those bridges not collapse? Like, how do they stand still? It's so mushy at the bottom. It's mushy down there, dude. It's mushy. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes the poles aren't even made of... of steel. Sometimes they're made of concrete. Like, how'd you get that concrete hard underwater, dude? Tell me how you got concrete hard underwater. We put a sexy lady in there. No. Sexy ladies don't make everything hard. Just dicks and life. So almost everything. Almost.
Yeah, that is our guest for next week, the comedian Ryan Singer, whose third full-length album, Immortal For Now, is coming out. And he was called 10 LA Comics to Watch by LA Weekly. And Mark Maron himself said this is a comedian who should be big. You can see Ryan Singer Wednesday, March 22nd at Doc's Lab here in San Francisco.
And he has a podcast called Me and Paranormal You, which is also covers a lot of the same stuff or similar stuff to what we're dealing with in the Aliens of Sirius episode, so check out Me and Paranormal You also.
Cool. So yeah, that'll be available a week from the day this episode drops. So
the 20th,
March 20th. Cool.
All right.
Awesome.
So moving on to the last episode that came out, we had a really cool interaction with some folks involved with the documentary Tickled after our Tickled episode.
So many interactions. We had so many interactions.
So why don't you guys kind of tell the story about what happened this week?
Well, before the episode came out, David Starr, who is one of the people in Tickled, was tweeting at us on Twitter. He even filled out our survey.
I think he's a producer on that documentary,
too. He's got a producer credit. Right, that's true.
Yeah. So he was not only in it, and one of my favorite scenes is, I think we even mentioned this with Yacht, was when he goes through the letters, some of them he hadn't even opened yet, with David Ferrier. And, you know, it's pretty hardcore stuff. I mean, he's getting some messages that were pretty mean and not all that great, but David Starr seems like a really great guy, and yeah, and he was tweeting at us. But then what happened was Dylan Reeve, who is not only one of the filmmakers, he's on camera, he's also a producer, listened to our podcast and then heard that we said that that one of our suggestions is that there'd be a Lifetime movie made of this, and then one of the Yacht members said Jermaine Clement from Flight of Conchord should play him. So yeah. Dylan Reeve on Twitter said, hey, Jermaine Clement, apparently you need to play me in the Lifetime movie version, according to SupDoc and Yacht. And then Jermaine started tweeting saying, like, I need to grow a beard. And Dylan said, well, you got to get a little fatter, so you should eat some pies, which
and
was
then
awesome.
And then we got into a whole thing about pies. And I think maybe we're going to get a pie sponsorship from one of these Australian LA pie companies.
That would be awesome. Yeah, like Pie Knot. Matter of fact, Pie Knot, I'm so sorry. The Pie Hole in LA.
The Pie Hole, yeah.
Asked us to DM them because they want to set up a pie tasting for us.
I have eaten at Pie Hole. It is very good. I will be very happy to have an LA Pie Hole endorsement.
Do they do the meat pies or they like the fruit pies?
They do both. They do both.
Sweet and savory. Creamy.
There's a couple locations. There's one in the Arts District that I've been to, which is very
cool.
Good. Yeah,
shepherd's pie. Is that what that is?
I think I had a shepherd's pie. Yeah, but I don't know what delicious. The Australian. I mean, I said Australian. I don't know what the New Zealand particular pies are. He pointed us to some like Australian pie place in LA, but he said they don't really have like New Zealand. I guess it'd be lamb. I assume it'd be like lamb based.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. Well, we also want to thank Dylan Reeve for taking the time out and tweeting at us.
Yeah,
seemed like an awesome guy, and we'd love to have you on the podcast. So let us know if you want to talk to us. And you know how we can do it is how we're doing this is through Zencastr, which, by the way, thank you, Zencastr.
Thank you, Zencastr.
Yeah, we've been using them a little bit. I got some friends who are using them, and they're not paying us anything, but we're not paying them anything either. But we want to give them a shout out because they have made this so much easier than all of us trying to coordinate finding each other, like finding time to go to each other's houses and everything. So,
especially since I live in LA, that's going to be
a
big barrier. Oh, I did want to say, we didn't get to talk too much about Tickle King, and I hadn't seen it. None of us had seen it when we'd done the episode. Did you guys have any opinions on Tickle King?
I thought it was great. I thought, especially as an addendum, I thought it was great.
Absolutely, yeah. I had seen some of that footage that took place. Was that at the New Beverly? Or
the New
was
Art. I think the New Art, yeah. Or the New Beverly, yeah.
So I'd seen some iPhone footage of that, and they actually had some nice cameras there shooting that, and you got to see more of it. And that was pretty intense. Like that.
The
was,
last intense, little bit. Yeah, like the last little bit with David D'Amato just basically being homophobic in real life was really? Like after all this, that's your takeaway?
Yeah, and eating popcorn, watching the movie, and then being kind of obstinate and kind of an asshole, trying to interrupt things and get on camera, but then being like, you know, I like the music.
Yeah.
Like he was saying some like nice thing, because like when it comes down to it, it is a nicely made documentary. Like it is put together pretty well. So it's kind of odd that he would recognize that.
One thing I liked is that the filmmakers could have easily cut that to make him look really bad and to also make it look like an aggressive stance by D'Amato. But they kept their sense of humor. You know, the editing matched the editing of the doc, which I thought was impressive, because it'd be easy to be like, fuck this guy, and edit it to make him look. But then you see Dylan out front even talking to him like, dude, listen, like we just want your side, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And imagine just being in the audience of that, and you're just watching that interaction go down where it's not.
Oh my God, it would be amazing.
It almost has a feeling that it's like staged, but I know it's not, because like you've seen the movie and you know kind of the lengths that this dude goes to.
Yeah.
The private
eye. I like when he was like, and we're throwing them out for filming in their old coffee cup trick, which I know because I used that in the doc. And he's like, we know this fellow. We've seen him before. It's so interesting. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I want there to be, a Jinx King, another hour-long follow-up.
Absolutely.
I thought they were doing that. I thought someone was putting a sequel together for the Jinx.
HBO, I know they're doing Making a Murderer Season 2.
Yeah. That's coming out, which is going to be awesome.
Because,
stuff has happened. Because
he's been, what's his name from the Jinx, has been...
Robert Durst.
Isn't he in jail now? Like,
he is.
Just burping away in jail. Well, and one of my, back to the Twitter thing, one of my favorite, like, we found out, like, Dylan had listened to it because he tweeted us at us simply, yes, you may be sued, which is funny because we talk about that.
The same problem we were thinking about with the Scientology people.
But yeah, that's awesome. But so listen, if you haven't yet, it's a great talk with Yacht. We talk about the doc Tickled, and if you haven't heard Yacht, you should definitely check them out. I fell in love with this band and Jonah and Claire, who are great.
Yeah, I wish I had gone to the Aliens live sound they were doing the other day, but I didn't make it. After the mic shut off, I don't know if we didn't even get this on microphone. But they were talking about the tricordion thing that they're doing in downtown.
So interesting.
We didn't even get into any of that stuff. Will, did you hear about this at all?
I didn't.
It up real fast. I got to look up the name of it real fast.
Yeah, as we were leaving, they kind of pointed to some boxes of material. And George was like, what's this? And then we got into this crazy discussion about what they're going to be refurbishing this music sculpture that's been in downtown LA for 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty interesting stuff.
I need to look up the name of it real fast. Sculpture.
I was telling them, I remember back in the day that you could send, there was a link, I think it was just silo.com or silo.org, and you could listen to music in a grain silo. People would send in songs and it would play in this grain silo somewhere in Canada. And you could just sit and listen to how it sounded in a grain silo. It was really cool. But I mean, that's early days of the internet. Yeah. Remember when the internet was just kind of weird like that?
Yeah. They would give you phone numbers to call, to phone booths and stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I remember being able to make, like anonymous phone calls to people through Yahoo. You could type in a statement of what you wanted, and then you type in the phone number, and it could be really creepy. You could just talk about, you could just do whatever and to prank people.
Well, speaking of the internet, George, let's talk about that article that you posted about Netflix and moving into documentaries.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to find the link. I just linked it to you guys, but
It's there Netflix.
Someone else had posted about it, like Business Insider or something had posted something about it, but there you go. It's like a New York Times article, just from the 9th. Of March by Glenn Kenny, and it's someone who's, I guess, one of their film writers who was just talking about how Netflix has cracked open this new market for documentaries, which we've all kind of known, but I guess there's a good point in here. Apparently 68 million people have seen Netflix because of the percentage of people that have seen at least one documentary on Netflix. So last year, that's like 68 million people.
Right. So then we had, White Helmets. Did that win the best picture?
It won the short documentary short, for the Oscar, yeah. And, and O.J. Made in America won for...
That's insane.
That means everyone watched all 7 hours of it.
Yeah. It was so good, though. It was so well made.
It was great, yeah.
And when I was talking to Matt Orr...
With Greg Edwards, I believe episode 22 or something? I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, and Harmon Lanine... He was in those prank shows with OJ. You haven't heard that. We have a good talk with Harmon about that.
That was crazy too.
Yeah. But there was a good point in here. Like basically, Netflix is not beholden to advertisers, which is like why they treat documentary differently. And also like the fact that like, if you're going by box office, which is so based on like Friday night opening weekend stuff, there were some documentaries that you just are not like a Friday night date night. Like, yes. I'm Not Your Negro is not like a date night movie, but it is an important movie that people should see.
So. Yeah. Also like 13th. It's not like you're going to cuddle up and watch 13th.
That even goes to like, if you're going to go out to a movie theater, that's right. If you're not someone who goes out to the movie theater a lot, you're probably not going to go see a documentary. Right. And I think, even in the days of going to the video store, I think that's kind of a similar thing. But with the, Netflix, like, you can watch whatever you want. You don't have to go anywhere. And if you don't like it, you could just shelve it and, pick up something else. So it kind of frees people to kind of check out new things.
Yeah.
And like, it's crazy that like the documentary miniseries is like kind of taking off in this, in this format, like we said with OJ.
It makes sense. Like, it's all bingey. People want to binge stuff.
Absolutely.
It feels weird when you watch something for 90 minutes. It's awesome, and you can't go, episode 2. And it's like, it's it.
Well, even like with something like OJ, there were so many avenues that they went down. And, in an hour and a half, even if it's like a two-hour documentary, you're not going to be able to cover as much as they got to cover. And also, you're not going to sit for 7 hours in a movie theater and watch this like really compelling, but let's face it, it's 7 hours that you've got to spend sitting in a movie theater.
Right. Yeah, they had to show OJ in a theater for it to qualify for the Oscars, I believe.
Oh, really?
They probably did that once.
Like a 3 hour and then a break and then the next 3.5 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, or over 2 days or something.
Yeah. And this article from the Times was getting into the fact that like something like the 13th, she had total freedom on how to do it because of Lisa Nishimura, who is the vice president of documentary and comedy programming for Netflix. So she's the one who's like dropping all that money on Chris Rock, his two specials.
Yeah,
right.
And I read another article that said there's going to be like maybe 52 new comedy stand-up specials, like one a week for the next year.
Yeah, it's crazy that like they're not – Netflix is not a network, so it doesn't have like a time schedule,
right?
That they have to fit everything into.
Well, that's awesome for us. That's awesome news because we do documentaries and comedy, so it's like that's perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, we should get her on the show, Lisa Nishimura.
Oh yeah, we should. I applied for the Netflix. They needed a curator for their documentary / comedy division or whatever.
So you submitted for that?
Yeah.
the docu-comedy position.
Docu-comedy. I was like, that's perfect for me. My two favorite, my two loves of life.
Speaking of Netflix, another random thing about Netflix, we should kind of tell people what's in the Patreon extras.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. In our conversation with Yacht.
Yeah. At one point, Jonna kind of has ADD, so he went to the bathroom, came back, and we were on a completely different timeline, and we were talking about some weird stuff he found on Netflix, videos that take place on the Netflix campus, it looks like. So yeah, you just gotta subscribe to Patreon to find.
Yeah, it's some weird. I checked them
out. You found it? There.
I did. It's weird. It's really bizarre.
Does it have any star ratings?
No. It's unrateable, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I was able to add it to my queue. But,
you gotta send me the link. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I just did while I was listening, and you guys even say that you shout out to me during the interview, saying that I will enjoy it, and I did. I did enjoy it. It was great.
We knew that's exactly up your
right up my alley. It is really bizarre.
Video. Yeah.
That's available on Patreon, which we'll get into a little bit later in this episode. Yeah.
Speaking about watching docs.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's talk about our new sponsor. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Guide Doc.
Guide Doc.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So, if you don't have access to Netflix and you want to watch documentaries, what should people do? Go to Guide Doc and download their app.
An awful spot. One of the gangest ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to find the script from any of this.
Or we're just reading it. Well, they they offer a lot of really cool documentaries that are not available anywhere else from around the world. A lot of foreign language stuff. And it's available on iOS right now, I believe.
I've got it, and they also update it all the time. It's really interesting because it's a lot of stuff that's not in English. There's this documentary I haven't watched this yet. It's about a punk band from northern Mexico. It's called Hamak Kazim, and it's 2011. I never heard about this one, and it looks pretty amazing. It's a remote region of northern Mexico, and this band is mixing punk rock with the indigenous language and musical traditions of the Comayac Nation.
Oh, wow.
The Comayac Nation, yeah. And this is something that I'm pretty sure you're not going to find on anywhere else. So that's right. One of the great ones that they've gotten here. And it's a really pretty intuitive way to find out about documentaries. They've got little descriptions like that. And and the graphics are nice. And it's a pretty good user interface, I'd say.
It's cheap, too. It's cool. $4.99 a month.
$4.99 a month, exactly.
It's actually affordable.
And you can go to our URL that they set up specifically for our listeners to sign up for SupDoc. There's two steps. There's registering yourself and an account, and there's also downloading the iOS app. So I think you can do both. There's a link to do both things from the site that they set up for us.
You can find a link in the show notes to this episode, and we're going to be putting that in episodes going forward as well. So you're going to hear a little bit about GuideDoc going forward.
Yeah, it's that URL, if you want to just type it in, is guidedoc.tv/supdoc. And there's a link to download the app, and you can enter to register.
Awesome.
And that's GuideDoc, like a guide dog.
And I love their logo. I love their logo, yeah. It's a little camera dog.
It's a guide dog.
With a leash.
Yeah, it's awesome. So cool. Yeah, we're super honored, super proud to have GuideDoc sponsoring us. And go to their website, check it out, download the app, watch docs.
Now, if you want to do more to sponsor this show, you can also check out our Patreon page.
Yes.
And that is patreon.com/supdocpodcast. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
I got it right.
Yeah.
And we actually have a couple of new people. We should do our shout out.
Yes.
Absolutely.
David Roth, for one, was a new Patreon, SupDoc Patreon subscriber. Thank you so much, David Roth. $10 a month pledger. So he gets all kinds of good stuff, fun things like SupDoc logo button, your California butt Bart pin.
Yeah, I can, I don't know if I would. I'm not going to shout out the dollar amounts for these next people, but I also want to thank our one of our new Patreon supporters is Annette Marines, a friend of mine from Santa Cruz. Hi, Annette.
Awesome.
She's supporting us. And also Alina Mansfield from Eugene, Oregon, just joined up.
Awesome. So, thank you, guys. Yay!
And then our longtime contributors, Jamie Borchuk, Janet Flemmer, Angie Britsky, and John Schenberger. Also, shout out to all of them.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. You're helping us out.
Yeah, like I'm mailing out people buttons. That's one of the things you can get as a
reward. Love those California Bart pins.
Thank you. I gave you one, right?
And like when I saw that you were like, I know enamel pins are hot right now. And like, as soon as I saw that you made one, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
You know, they're hot, but they are not moving as quickly as I thought they would. So this is one of the best ones to get.
Yeah, you can totally get one by subscribing for Patreon. It helps us out. It helps us move these pens that George has a big stock of, but it also helps us out.
Yeah, and if you're like, the money, like it's cheaper to get it this way than to actually just buy it straight out for me. It's actually cheaper to get it through Patreon. Yeah,
cool. Awesome. You get a discount on that awesome pen.
And I feel like some people don't know what Patreon is. Should we kind of
clue
them in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Patreon is basically it's a bit like Kickstarter. If you know Kickstarter, it's a crowdfunded platform. The way Kickstarter works is that you have a project and you need a set amount of money for it, and you ask people to donate that amount of money. Patreon is similar, but it's for ongoing projects like SupDoc. We put out a new episode, a new interview every 2 weeks, and we're going to try to do these on the off weeks, the show that we're doing right now. So your contribution helps us, you can pay out once a month. You can give us, more. You can give us a little bit less than what the tiers are. Certain tiers have prizes that we were just going over. You don't have to get the prizes if you don't want to.
No.
But you get pins, you get we get bonus content that we're putting out, stuff that we're cutting out of episodes, fun discussions, stuff that we record, before and after the interview starts, and hopefully some more special stuff as we can.
Yeah, like exclusive, maybe some interviews that are just on here. I was thinking maybe we want to talk about stuff that is a little bit out of the exact realm of what the show is. But like, let's say we want to get into like a reality show. I think the Patreon would be a way that we could address those things that are kind of tangential, but still connected to the show.
Right. Overall.
Is The Bachelor a documentary? People seem to love that show.
I mean, reality
TV. If we were to dip into reality TV, I would have to talk about The Great British Baking Show, which is my my calming dinner time sedative.
I have not watched it yet. What's so good about the show?
It's incredibly sincere, and it's especially if you get a lot of these like reality shows where people are like, I'm coming here to win, I'm gonna beat everybody. Everyone's so nice to each other, even when they are competing. Yeah, and it's a nice antidote to some of the nastier reality shows that are on TV right now that I don't watch.
Right on.
Yeah, I haven't been watching much reality TV at all. So I could get into just watching some baking. I'm a big fan of the food stuff in general.
It's like the food they make is pretty delicious looking too. It's like...
I heard there's a different name, right? Is there a different name for the show in England?
Yeah, like they call it Bake Off.
Oh, right. It's British. It's not the British Bake Off in England. That makes sense.
It's called the British Bake Off in England.
It is. Yeah.
It's the baking show, and I think they just changed it completely to baking show because it got hot in America, and that's because I think Pillsbury owns the term Bake Off. In the United States.
Of course they do.
One of those, like Betty Crocker or Pillsbury or something, so they can't use it without paying a fee.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do one more event shout out. It's kind of an endorsement if you're in Los Angeles. Will, you've seen Hypernormalization.
I have, yeah.
And this is the first Adam Curtis movie I've seen. I haven't gone down the rabbit hole of Adam Curtis stuff yet.
Same here. That was the first one I watched.
You know who wanted to do this a while ago is Ben from Lost Weekend Video. He not Kalina, but Ben Gatchel, who worked there. He was. When I told him a long time ago about this show, he's like, "You got to do Adam Curtis. We got to do a bunch of," and it's very much up his alley. He's a very conspiracy-minded man himself. But Adam Curtis is going to be in Los Angeles this coming weekend, starting Friday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. What better way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day than to come to CineFamily over on Fairfax? Yeah, exactly. BAFTA award-winning. He's going to do – well, they're going to show Starship Troopers. He's like – that's one of his favorite movies.
Oh, that's perfect.
With writer Ed Neumeier in person. And this is a quote from Adam Curtis about Starship Troopers. It's one of the most great subversive films of recent times. It is about what happens when there is a sense of fear, uncertainty, and doubt about the world we live in. It shows how attractive fascism is as a response. And it is really radical because the film makes you feel that attraction. That's a quote from Adam Curtis. So that's 10 p.m.
That is so true. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, and they have you can have beers at CineFamily if you want to get grossed out with watching bugs explode and have Adam Curtis explain to you how it has to do with our life right now.
And I have to say, like, I never – like when Starship Troopers first came out, I never saw it in the theater. And I saw it years later out in San Francisco, I think when Jesse Fix did his Midnights for Maniacs. It is so much cooler on that big screen. And, if you think it's a cheesy movie, if you haven't really seen it in a few years, I mean, it's Paul Verhoeven, who, the lead actress in his latest film was nominated for an Academy Award this year.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So he's back to making foreign films. He's, done in America. But he also did, Hollow Man.
RoboCop.
RoboCop.
Which is another one of my favorites.
Is it Neil Patrick Harris in Starship Troopers?
Yes, he is. Oh, my God.
Denise Richard.
Denise. Like, that's right. Denise Richard.
Casper Van Dien.
Oh, yeah. That weird. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. I also wanted to say, he's showing. If you go to CineFamily's website, you can see more about the other films that he's showing. He's doing a show and tell at 7:30 p.m. on St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to try and get a ticket to this.
Awesome.
So is he showing Hypernormalization or is it just Starship?
There is a screening of Hypernormalization 6:30 on the 18th. There's going to be a screening with him there in person. He's there in person, I think, for all of these.
That would be an interesting, but I really like, now that you say he's showing Starship Troopers, I would much rather go to that and see him talk about that movie.
Watched Hypernormalization, so I don't need to see it again right now.
Did you watch it?
We're all living it.
It's on YouTube, right? You can watch it on YouTube?
You can get it there. Oh, my gosh.
What?
Yes. Well, I was going to say, I think it is available on YouTube, but yeah. This also makes sense. The last film he's showing in person is Blowout.
Oh, God, John Travolta, I love that movie. Blowout.
Ah. Yeah, so which I'd say like the other movie that would make sense is like Gene Hackman, The Conversation. Just stuff about monitoring people and media interface. One thing I got out of Adam Curtis, out of watching Hypernormalization, is I got really curious about that movie Stalker, the Andrei Tarkovsky movie. Yeah, so I had seen parts of Solaris. I'd never seen Stalker. That got me into Stalker, and that opens up a whole other world. There's so many interesting facts that's about Stalker.
Like, it's kind of a weird, because, I saw that, in film school years and years ago, and it was just on in the lobby of my department, and I was waiting on someone, and I ended up, watching about 45 minutes of it. I'm like, what the hell? This is amazing. And it was,
it's a hypnotic thing, yeah.
It is. I came in right when they got into the room. And all that, the really weird shit started happening.
It's a weird version of Wizard of Oz in a strange way.
Oh my God, yeah.
The way it goes from color to black and white, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and awesome. That's sort of considered a primary thing to understand the mentality of a society where, the truth is no longer a fixed thing. Yeah.
He kind of goes over that a little bit in that movie. Mm-hmm. So It's a neat kind of like, if you're going to go see that movie, you don't have to know about it beforehand, but no. It's a neat little sidetrack that you can go down.
Yeah.
If you like.
I mean, I was also just interested in like Soviet science fiction as a whole genre. Like,
yeah. Right. And you know, I got into that after, Soderbergh's remake of Solaris came out, which I really enjoyed as well.
I never saw that actually.
It's good. It's the same story. It's told very differently. But it's very cool, and I think it kind of I think it's as good as the Tarkovsky version.
Awesome. Well, should we talk about quickly what we're watching right now, seeing we're talking about watching docs?
Sure.
I just watched Gimme Danger, which was great. Great. I wouldn't say great. I guess I said great, but I don't think great. It wasn't that great. It was all right. It's Jarmusch show that's fun, and if you love the Stooges, right, it's great to see. There's a lot of great footage, and it just talks about rock and roll in general and like the horrible record companies and that kind of stuff.
But
it's enjoyable.
Well, who's left? I mean, who's left out of the Stooges that's on camera? It's interviewed because it's Iggy. One of the are both the Ashtons passed away, or only one of the Ashtons?
Both.
Yeah,
both of them have since passed away, but so it's they.
So this is our.
They talk to Iggy a lot.
Mm-hmm. Archival interviews with the other guys, maybe.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
And George, what did you see recently?
Not super recently, but we didn't get to talk about it on the show. I don't know. I didn't know how to fit into the show, so it's a good thing to bring up here. I really enjoyed the Serena Williams documentary, which is available on Hulu, produced by Epix, I believe. And I don't care about tennis or sports generally at all. So it was just literally like, I guess let's see what this is, because I know this is someone famous. I don't know anything about her, really. And it was really interesting, especially like the sibling kind of rivalry that happens with her and Venus. That's so interesting. And then you get to really just think of her as like almost like child actors, or someone who got really famous so young, and is kind of like her way of like kind of taking care of herself is like she still kind of seems to be into like Disney, like princess stuff. And she kind of almost feels like a grown up little kid in some ways.
Sure.
But she's also just like such a fierce,
oh my God,
like hardworking athlete. It's really, I guess there's some crossover to San Francisco stuff, because she got engaged. They didn't talk about her personal life a lot. She seemed like she was totally single, or maybe hanging out with Drake or something at some point. But she is, since that movie came out, that was all shot 2015. She's engaged to Alexis Ohanian, the guy who founded Reddit.
Yeah, and then they stopped by Dolores Park a couple weeks ago and played tennis with some unsuspecting tennis players, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd just be fucking intimidated.
I'd swing some balls with Serena. That would be so much fun. I mean, it's like shooting hoops with Michael Jordan. She's the best women's tennis player ever, you know? Like, it's incredible. Right. She's so incredible. And her story, the Williams sister story, is really incredible.
So have you guys seen this one?
I haven't seen the doc. No, I'd like to.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, check it out. It's a high recommendation.
What's it called?
It's just called Serena.
Oh, cool.
It's on Hulu. It might be some other places as well, yeah.
What about you, Will? Have you been watching anything?
Yeah, I've been watching quite a bit of stuff. The one that I watched most recently that I really enjoyed was this. It's on HBO right now. It's called Bright Lights, starring Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. It is, you know, we lost both Debbie and Carrie the end of last year, one day apart. You know, Carrie Fisher died, and then Debbie Reynolds died the day after. It was really heartbreaking. And, you know, and this movie, I don't know when it came out. I mean, it came out 2016, so May of 2016. Fisher Stevens, of all people, co-directed it. And so it's really about the Debbie and her kids, mostly Carrie, because she's so close to Carrie, and they're almost like sisters. It's really, really incredible. And then Todd is in there a little bit, Todd Fisher, Carrie's brother, and then I'm blanking on what Eddie Fisher.
Her dad.
Yeah, they got footage of him about 3 months before he died out here in Berkeley, pretty close to my apartment, it seems. So you really get a sense, and I've never seen Postcards from the Edge, so they talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I saw it years ago, yeah, with Meryl.
My mom used to watch it all the time, so.
Yeah.
It's a really cool portrait of the two of them and how their relationship has evolved over the years and how each one of them has evolved as an entertainer and being growing up in the spotlight and everything. It was really, really good.
Awesome. Yeah, it's such a heartbreaking story about her and her mom, but it'd be fascinating to watch. I haven't seen that either yet.
Yeah.
Great. So where do we go from here?
I think this is everything that's on my list that I made out for you guys.
Can I just read you guys like a title of an article I like that I want to see a documentary made about this?
Go for it.
This is from the New York Times Asia Pacific branch. This is from March 9th. Radioactive boars in Fukushima thwart residents' plans to return home. Kimiko De Freitas Tamura. And there's just a picture of a boar just wandering around the evacuation zone. And I guess they're like toxic boars. Wow. And like people would normally just like eat these or take them as pets. And they can't because they're all contaminated.
They're radioactive.
Yeah, they're basically mutant boars. It's like fucking. Can we just grab which character from Mutant Turtles?
Right.
Is it Rocksteady? No, that's a rhino.
Or is it Bebop?
Bebop is like, you should just have a picture of Bebop on here.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus, toxic wild boar. Yeah. That sounds like a stomach ache waiting to happen.
I want to see a documentary about that. Just the radioactive ramen that was coming out of that. Yeah.
I kind of want to see, speaking of things you want to see, like there is a story I heard a long time ago that I either thought would have been a great Disney movie or a documentary, but in World War II, there was a bear that I believe the Polish army used to help fight the enemies. And his name was Wojtek.
Wojtek? Oh, you talked about this when we did Project Grizzly. It's Wojtek?
Wojtek, yeah. I'm fascinated by this story because he would smoke cigarettes and drink beer with his comrades, and they would strap arms to him, and he would scare people, and he would supply them with artillery. And then he ended up in a zoo in Ireland, and his comrades would go visit him once the war has been over, and they would jump in the bear entrapment and hug him and wrestle with him and smoke cigarettes with him.
I feel like if we can't make a documentary about that, that should at least be like a new character in like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or something like that.
Yeah, or Scotland. I'm sorry, it was a zoo in Edinburgh Zoo in Scotland. But it's just a fascinating story. It's just incredible that it's actually real. I would love to see a doc about that.
Did he play cards also?
Probably. God. Like he seemed to do all kinds of crazy shit. I mean, their mascot was him, the bear carrying an artillery shell, became like one of their badges, like one of their patches they had and stuff. It's like super. It's just crazy. Like such a great story. Yeah. Anyways, well, this has been fun. Yeah, this has been fun. No, I like this.
No, I mean, I like this. This is like so much less boring than just like, hey, next week. Yeah.
How do we end it?
More content.
Ended. I think right about now the music's going to start to fade in, and we're going to say, "Well, it's about time to wrap up, folks."
We're about out of time, but next week, check out Ryan Singer, episode 53, talking about Sirius. This has been fun, Will.
Thank you, George.
Yeah, what about me, George?
Okay, thank you, Paco.
I was going to do everyone.
Oh, okay, you're going to do round robin.
Yeah, I was, but now we've got to take care of it. You know what? Hey, only fun with you, Will.
I'll take it.
Also, happy birthday to Will. We forgot to...
Happy birthday. 21, finally.
Yeah, legal drinking for Will. Yeah. Buy Will a drink if you see him.
Right. Or go to our website at supdocpodcast.com.
And send him a drink through Patreon.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.